for staying warm in this cold weather. Maybe it's going to see a ghostly, chilling. Well, see, I don't know if seeing a chilling, scary production of Woman in Black is a way to stay warm, but you're in a group, right? You're all enjoying something together, and this might be a solution for folks. We are going to talk to the folks from the theater production. It's a Royal George Theater production of The Woman in Black. And by the way, they have a wonderful event coming up on Super Bowl Sunday. If you wear your football jersey, you can get a discount of tickets. And it's a scream contest on Super Bowl Sunday. Joining me in studio, we have two of the actors from the production. Introduce yourselves. Let me know where you're from. Yes, you go ahead.
You go ahead.
You start. Brad Armacost.
Yes.
Thank you for having us on tonight. Brad Armacost from Evanston.
From Evanston?
Yeah.
Lovely. That's not much of a hike for you. Did you ever decide, think about moving anywhere else, or have you just decided to stay in Chicago?
No.
Me too.
Stay in Chicago. You got it right the first time. You don't need to go anywhere else.
Were you an Evanston Wildcat?
No.
No, you didn't go to NTH?
No,
you didn't go to.
My son did. No, I am a Hoosier.
Oh, you are?
But I've been in Evanston for about 35 years.
You were the second person from Indiana today who said that they're a Hoosier. And I just.
I believe it's French for pure of heart.
I believe so. Yeah. I believe you're correct.
That's one way to put it.
Yeah. I still don't know what the origin of the term Hoosier is.
Oh, that's
from.
A long story.
Well, we have time.
Okay.
All right.
Of course you know this story,
I do
by
know
the
of
way.
Of course.
Story,
yeah. Hoosiers were very skeptical of people who were coming in the woods and outside their cabins, so they'd yell out, "Hoosier! Hoosier!" That is one story. The other being...
I don't know about that.
I don't believe that for a second.
They were terribly fierce fighters, and they fought. It was a badge of honor to say, "I fought like a Hoosier." Hessians being the Revolutionary War mercenaries that came over from Central Europe.
Oh, now that
so
story.
I fought
okay.
like a Hoosier.
Okay.
And Hoosier, Hoosier, but I believe it's pure of heart. Yeah.
You're going to go with that one?
Yeah, I'm going to stick with that one.
Thank you, Brad. And Adam?
Yes, my name is Adam Wesley Brown. I'm originally from Louisville, Kentucky, but I've lived in Chicago for a little over 10 years now.
You have? Did the theater bring you to Chicago?
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. I've been doing theater all my life, and I came up here to go to DePaul University, and, the Chicago bug bit me, and I haven't left.
Oh, there you go.
I love it here.
And I love Louisville, not just because of the whiskey and the baseball bats.
but I'll take both of them.
Is Louisville the one where the sanatorium, the haunted sanatorium is?
Waverly Hills.
Waverly Hills.
The most haunted location in the United States.
I was on the road a lot as a comic, and the reason I had to ask was I couldn't remember if it was Lexington or Louisville. I actually took a tour of Waverly with my husband.
Did you really?
I did. Did you never go there?
Oh, I trespassed in high school. I hope there's no... I don't know what the statute of limitations is on trespassing on Waverly Hills, but I broke in there with a couple friends in high school.
This is actually perfect for what we're talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Because, because Waverly Hills, it was a sanatorium for patients battling tuberculosis.
My grandfather actually was a patient there.
Was
in
he?
19... Oh, late 20s, early 30s, somewhere in that area.
And yeah. He made it out.
He made it through. He was a little kid at the time.
Oh.
Yeah, so he was all right. He was only in there for a couple of months and then kicked the TB. But many, many people didn't.
Thousands. Tens of thousands, like 10,000 people, I think.
So much that they built body chutes.
It was called the death chute. You could walk down the death chute. You know, it's true. They would slide the body bags down so that the patients didn't have to see them being picked up by the hearse in front of the sanatorium.
So what does a haunted sanatorium,
yes,
a fellow from Louisville and a fellow from Indianapolis, have to do with The Woman in Black?
It's a chilling, terrifying
it
tale.
A chilling,
it's a gothic tale.
Gothic tale.
Oh, it's
and
so
around,
good.
You know, it's been running in London for almost 30 years now.
Is that right?
It's second only to The Mousetrap as far as long-running straight plays. But in Britain, they around Christmas time is when you tell ghost stories. Mm-hmm. You sit around the fire and tell ghost stories. And this one has been how many people? 8 million
something like
people
worldwide
have seen this play. And I would be willing to bet the vast majority of them were frightened when they came out. So That's what we have to do with it. That's the women in black.
And it is it's one of those things where, one, you know, whenever you have a ghost story that involves vengeance, revenge, like that's that's a thing. Now, I've only seen the movie and I've got to see the live production of this, but that's the thing that jumped out at me, even in the movie with Daniel Radcliffe, is the sense of anger from this ghost, right?
Sure.
So I'm guessing this runs through it.
Oh, so, very much so.
Because, I mean, and then when you mix in kids, you know, and sort of that, the threat to kids, but also the, you know, kids are just scary in ghost stories.
Something about a child and a ghost will just scare anybody.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that children of the corn gaze, that still does me in.
On early mornings, Brad and I have that look in children of the corn gaze. Yeah.
So tell me about your character. I mean, obviously, I'm guessing you play the barrister. That has to...
Well, actually, so the movie itself...
Is wrong?
It's we like to think of it that the movie and the play are two interpretations of the same source material.
Okay.
I'm gonna sneeze, pardon me.
Oh, gosh, God bless you. It's okay. I got you. Don't worry about it. Nope, I have a...
That's why that button is over there.
Yeah, no, I got you. I got you. God bless you.
I'm allergic to Children of the Corn. You said
that's it.
Nine.
Yeah, corn.
But yeah, so the movie and the play are different interpretations of the same source material, where the movie takes a more straightforward approach of telling just Arthur Kipp's, the main character's story. Our production goes from the mindset of 30 years in the future, when Arthur Kipps has gone through this terrible ordeal in the north of England, in Eel Marsh, in this terrifying, spooky house, and 30 years later, he wants to finally tell his story. So he hires my character, an actor in town, to give him public speaking lessons, give him elocution lessons, and once my character gets a hold of his story and reads it, decides that the best way to tell the story is not for him to stand and just read a book that he's written, but let us reenact and retell and relive the whole experience.
That's incredible. I definitely have to see this because it's a completely different adaptation.
Very much.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Absolutely. So I am the old, dissipated Harry Potter. This is what happens to Daniel Radcliffe 30 years later, 40 years later.
I won't tell anybody how the movie ends, so continue.
No. Again, in order to... This tragic event happened to Arthur Kipps, Daniel Radcliffe, and 30 years later, in an attempt to move on with his life, he finds that this will be the way to exorcise that ghost, is to tell this story. And that you are in, as an audience member, you are in on the telling of this story.
Wow.
And again, with just two people, it does an amazing job of sending people into the seat next door. And the catharsis, the release, is always a joy to watch and to hear, where someone will scream, or someone will say, "Don't go in there," or someone will say, "No, no." And then people around them recognize we're in this together. So we laugh, they share this experience.
We always like to... There was a great story told to us by Robin Herford, our director. When the movie came out, the show had been running in the West End of London for 20 some odd years at this point. And as a promotional event, they hooked a couple people up to EKG machines and sent them to the movie and to the play and monitored their heart rates through the whole process to see which
was scarier?
Quote unquote scarier.
Okay.
And without fail, every single person who at the theater, their heart rate skyrocketed way more than seeing the movie.
Well, because the movie's pretty scary. I mean, it's a lot about what I loved in this adaptation in the film was sort of the shadows behind. It's always like the subtlety of it. So it sounds like from this production and the stage version of this, both here and in London, it's about the imagination.
Very much, right? Yeah.
Very much so. And you know, this is the U.S. premiere of the original production. Our director was the original director of this. The sets, the costumes, they were all the original design. And so it's been a delight to have that sort of history with this play. We started at Cleveland Playhouse. We went to Pasadena Playhouse. We have been fortunate enough to sit down in our home for almost 3 months now.
Oh, that's
and
great.
On February 17th, we move on to Seattle.
Well, everyone needs to go see this before then.
I hope so.
Yes, please come join us.
We're going to we're going to continue our conversation after the news, but I want to let people know that the Chicago Hit Theater production, The Woman in Black, they're offering an exclusive football jersey discount. Plus, I want to talk to our friends Brad and Adam about the fact that they will be judging a scream contest. I don't know if they're aware. Okay, you are aware of that.
It's a bucket list thing for me.
It is.
It's just to listen to people scream.
Absolutely.
I kind of feel like I need to take this challenge.
Please. Yes.
I don't want to.
I'm sorry. We do no special treatments. There is
no.
There's no bribing of the judges in this contest.
And I wouldn't want to win anything. I just want to see how I stack up against everybody else.
All right.
And everyone should check out the production. And again, this is at the Royal George Theater, which is located at 1641 North Halsted Street. The box office phone number is 312-988-9000. And I'm trying to find where this is a lot of information. I'm going to make sure I get the website. What's the best website for the...
RoyalGeorgeTheater.com.
RoyalGeorgeTheater.com for ticket information. And it's a wonderful theater, and this is a great production. So I encourage you to check it out. We'll continue our conversation with the cast when we come back on 720 WGN. Million people have already lived to tell the tale of one of the most successful and thrilling theater events ever staged, The Woman in Black, and we are fortunate enough to have two of the actors. The two actors. Is it a two-man show?
Just
for
the two of us.
Woman
Just
in Black at the Royal
Church.
This is it. Everybody's
here. The whole cast here.
I honestly had no idea.
Yep.
Mm. Well, I mean, obviously for a movie, you are going to, you know, add things and elements, but this is an adaptation of Susan Hill's. Is this a book that she wrote?
Yes.
I'm not familiar with
Woman in Black,
the book.
Which is in London, part of the English students' curriculum. So lots and lots of school groups have been keeping this play alive for years and years. It's taught as part of the curriculum, adapted by Stephen Malletrant.
So it's their Scarlet Letter.
It's their Scarlet Letter. It is indeed.
Yeah.
Yes, it is indeed.
Interesting.
Well said.
Yeah.
Well said.
I was just going back to my, what books didn't I necessarily like reading?
Right. No, Tess of the D'Urbervilles was mine.
Oh, I never read Tess of the D'Urbervilles.
Oh, love that.
I have it on my shelf. I think my mom bought it for me for funsies. She did. She bought me Uncle Tom's Cabin, too, for funsies.
Really?
Which was that one I read.
She had a warped sense of humor, didn't
my
she?
My mom?
Funsies was...
Oh, well, I was a voracious reader when I was a kid. Did you guys read, aside from like the... You know, the ones that you were assigned, like Tessa Dare.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
Did you read any of the scary books? Did you like any of those?
Oh, I'm a huge Stephen King fan. I mean, it's almost, it borders on religious text in my household. and that's something that I always talk about with this show that relates perfectly between those two worlds, because I actually actively avoid scary movies.
Okay.
I it's never like the actual movie itself. It's always me when I'm at home at night at 2 a.m, laying in bed going, oh, no, you know. The Babadook is absolutely at the end of my bed. I know he is. But, you know, that's so funny, not being a fan of Stephen King, or not being a fan of horror things, but loving Stephen King's writing.
Sure.
Is that he writes really great human stories.
Yes.
Which I think our show does very well. You know, you can read a story about a guy going into a scary house, and that's scary. But if you spent a lot of time with him and gotten to know him, got to know his hopes and his dreams, his aspirations, his failings as a person, you care a great, great deal more. So if you do all of that and then go into the scary house, you care that much more about him and want nothing bad to happen to him, just a little bit more, which I think our show really personifies in a great way. The scary stuff doesn't happen right away. It takes some time. We build the story. You fall in love with these two guys and care about the success of their endeavor that they're trying to do. And then, oh right, this is a scary play. Scary things happen in the play.
Indeed.
So there's a lot of mystery leading up, so you kind of are not quite sure where it's going when the story begins.
Indeed, and it's deceptively simple when you see the set. It looks like a backstage of an older theater, just these two characters, and even the set starts to draw you more and more into the story. And that's to the credit of this wonderful designers from the London production that, as I say, we've been fortunate enough to inherit that. Mm. And
that's what I was wondering, was what the staging was like. You know, if this is more of a sort of reflecting back, are we in the, you know, the environment where the story takes place as well? Is it kind of a back and forth with that?
No, it's we always talk about it being a love letter to the art of theater. It is, I mean, you are looking at essentially a rehearsal process. How do we create this story Arthur Kipps wants to tell in a room with two chairs, a box, and a door, and no costume changes, no big special effects. It's just good old-fashioned storytelling, and we draw the audience in that way.
And once it starts, it snowballs, and right. it becomes you become more and more invested into it as an actor and as the audience. You find yourself as in old-time radio theater, where you're literally creating the sets, the lights, the costumes, and the little dog too.
I think is a bit of a fantastic cheat for this show, in that because we ask the audience to use so much of their imagination and to essentially fill the stage with their own imaginings of what's happening, we have a slight in with each individual person, because it's your imagination filling the stage. What you're imagining, what that house looks like, what these things are. So when the scary things happen, it's your mind scaring yourself, which it just gives it that extra flair of a little more personal touch.
I love how passionate you both are and excited about this production that you're in.
And this is after 6 months together.
Right? Yeah, I was going to say, by the way, the 331, so I have a text screen. People can call or text live during the show.
Oh, wonderful.
So someone just texted in, and everyone can join us, 312-981-7200. We're hanging out with Brad Armacost and Adam Wesley. They are the stars of Woman in Black, running right now at the Royal George Theater. You can go to royalgeorgetheater.com for ticket information. The 331 says, I have seen this play 5 times, each one scarier than the last. It is far better than the movie, and I urge Patty to go see it. It is amazing what two actors can do.
Oh, wow. Thank you very much.
That's great.
That's really lovely.
That's great. That's great.
I love it. And the library book recommendation. Oh, this is a different topic. Someone's sending us recommendations from the Mincing Rascals, which is a podcast that we do.
Oh, nice.
And so it's interesting that you mentioned Stephen King and the way he wrote stories, because I over Halloween, I don't always have time to read. I just know the book, and just like I did when I was a kid, like I mentioned.
Yeah.
So I listened to the audio version of Carrie, which was his first, read by Sissy Spacek.
Oh, wow.
And I highly recommend that. Nice. I enjoyed that tremendously, because it was a little bit surreal, and she's got a great voice, but you also think of her in that role. But,
yeah,
but you're right. I didn't really know the sort of behind everything else that went into that story.
You know, it's fascinating. I think the horror genre is such a thriller genre is such a wide open berth. It can be the, you know, blood and gore, zombie apocalypse, or it can be, you know, the Hitchcockian sort of your own mind will trick you, that sort of basic storytelling that is deceptively simple.
Yeah. And we are certainly not the blood and gore. I mean, this the Woman in Black is far closer to, say, Get Out or A Quiet Place.
The
Quiet Place.
Yeah.
Where anticipation.
It is the anticipation that builds. And when something happens, that's what I say, that experience sitting next to someone else. I mentioned this the other day. I think it was G.K. Chesterton or C.S. Lewis said, a true friend is someone who turns to you and says, what, you too? I thought I was the only one. And that collective... What, you were scared on that night?
It's great to be in the Royal George, too, because the way the seating is arranged, everyone is, I mean, you're right on top of each other.
Yep.
And so we've found in our months on the road and in the different cities that we've been in, the different spaces that we've performed, our Royal George experience has been that much richer, because it is the collective, I'm scared, and my entire row got scared, so we're all there's the scare, and then there's the moments after of looking around going, oh, that wasn't just me, oh that's, you know,
which Patty, just... have you played the Royal George?
I did the smaller theater. I did a one-woman show.
Yeah,
I did the cabaret. I did Lipstick Mom in that theater. And but I will say this, the very first play I ever saw was 1776 at Theater on the Lake, and the second one I ever saw was Little Shop of Horrors at the Royal George Theater when I was a kid.
Well, you know how close there is.
Yes.
You know, the last row is still tremendously close to the stage, and it goes up. It is raked. The audience is raked so that you really can see faces.
And I saw Grapes of Wrath starring Gary Sinise and John Malkovich when it was there in, what, 1989, I think, when I was a kid.
You know, I did a
That's the same year Woman in Black actually premiered in the West End.
Incredible. During this run, in the 6 months you've been doing this, has there been anything that surprised you from the Chicago audiences? Have there been moments that you're like,
you can
leap
definitely
out of
tell
your...
a Chicago audience.
Yeah.
You absolutely can. We have we did a month at Cleveland Playhouse and a month at Pasadena Playhouse, and then we've been here since mid-November. And Adam, you were the first to point out Chicago audiences.
Oh, they make you work for it. They won't fall for an easy joke or a cheap scare. You have to earn their attention and earn their respect, and it makes it so vibrant every night of going, you know, we have to tell the story. And it is, I mean, I've always said acting is a full contact sport. I mean, this is a true example of that. It's 2 hours of just us on stage, but when you have an audience that won't give you the easy laugh, that means I just got to work that much harder. And every night is a new
yes.
journey trying to snag that audience.
That
in with
energy
us.
Informs and, the way you work. Right?
And our director Robin Herford, who is actually coming to town tomorrow, mm-hmm. he's going to be back in town to tune us up again a little bit. We have a tendency to drift after a while. No, he's coming back into town before our Seattle run, but he said, "Don't be surprised if sometimes you don't get the laughs or you don't get the immediate feedback that you were expecting elsewhere. There are times when we'll go out for the curtain call and it's just silence." And he said, "Love those times.
They're stunned.
And they are stunned.
They're waiting for more.
They want more of the story."
And he also gave us immediate freedom. Robin has directed every single production of this show in London for 30 years and every tour that has happened. And he said to us on day one, you know, this is not a show where I'm going to tell you where to go, how to say this line, how to feel. This is now Adam and Brad's Woman in Black. So we're going to discover this play completely anew. And when we move on to the next thing or another cast comes in, that will be their Woman in Black.
Right.
And so each one is different and interesting, and we find new things in each new cast that we do. And, you know, Brad and I are naturally little troublemakers, and we find a lot of humor and fun on stage. And he said, "That's great.
Explore
that, because our production is different than what's happening in London right now."
But working with somebody who's been working with it for 30 years, you have code. When every now and again he would just say at a break or anything, "You might try." And whenever you heard Robin say, "You might try," you
blah,
knew
blah, blah,
it was
blah, blah.
Exactly right and exactly got the reaction you want there. But in no way were we just replicating this successful production.
I am absolutely charmed by both of you, and I love how much, again, I'm going to make a request. If you, I want to come see this in the next week or so, and love to invite you back and be able to stretch out and talk to you more about this and your careers
and
your adventures, if you'll indulge me on that. So let's make that happen.
Absolutely.
But I want everyone to go see Woman in Black. I mean, just your conversation alone, I think, should drive you to the RoyalGeorgeTheatre.com website. And to see this, by the way, on Super Bowl Sunday, if you wear your football jersey, they've got a discount for you, and they're going to have a scream contest. So the cast will be judging the scream contest.
Dinner out afterwards.
It's a great
area. Autographed photo of
these
Adam
guys
and myself.
There you go. I love it.
Worth a full $2 in some states.
Go to RoyalGeorgeTheatre.com for ticket information. You can also call the box office. I had that number a minute ago, but you can call it 312-988-9000. And again, the RoyalGeorgeTheatre.com. And but on Super Bowl Sunday, they've got discounted tickets for you if you wear your favorite football jersey. Let me get a picture with you guys before you go. More in a moment on 720 WGN.